All right. Hey, we just sang that song. Did you know that technically that song is not even scriptural? Because I believe that your name is written down in heaven when you're conceived in your mother's womb. Because else, how in the world could the angel blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life if it's not put there sometime? And what happens when you die and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, then your name is blotted out. And so it has to be put there sometime. Maybe it was when you were conceived. Maybe it was before the foundation of the world. I don't know exactly when, but I know it wasn't the day you got saved because it's already was there, according to the Word of God. But I love to sing the song anyway. It's a lot of fun to sing it, and there's a lot of truth in it. But I think it's interesting, though, that sometimes we sing things and we don't even know what we're singing, you know. And anyway, hey, good to be here. Do you know who the most important person in the whole school is here? You. According to you, the most important person is you. The most important person in all of Chesterton is you, according to you. The most important person in all of Indiana is you, according to you. Or in the United States of America or around the world. We all think pretty much of ourselves. The reason that we are in the shape that we're in is way back a long time ago, Satan rebelled against God. In Isaiah 14, it tells about that. And wanted to exalt himself above God, and it was pride that did it. And pride is the reason for the fall of man. And pride is the reason that you think so much of yourself. I'd like you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, please. 2 Chronicles 26. We're going to read just a few choice verses there that I picked out. Don't want to read the whole passage because of time this morning. But it is good to be here. God bless each of you. I remember back in 1984, before most any of you were born, most of you, that my youngest daughter, actually my oldest daughter, Stacia Fawn, came to Fairhaven as a freshman. We were in El Paso, Texas. I was pastoring there. I'd started a church in 1984, and then a few months later, she came to school here. And you know, she didn't have any money. She was broke. And Bearing Precious Seed was about 5 or 6 miles from where I started our church, and Dr. Carlos Demarest was a friend of mine, and they brought a busload of people where they were going to Cincinnati, Ohio. And so my daughter rode on their big bus as far as Indianapolis, Indiana. And then we got her a bus ticket from there up to Fairhaven, and that's how she got here when she came to Fairhaven, because it's 1,500 miles to Fairhaven, from Fairhaven to El Paso, Texas, where we were. And she was the first student in my family that came to school here. However, we've been affiliated with the school for a lot longer than that, way back in the 70s, whenever we fellowshipped with Fairhaven, whenever it was a young, very young school. Well, anyway, it's good to be here. I hope that you found 2 Chronicles 26. I want to read verse number 2 and verse number 3, and we'll start with verse number 3, and I'll just pick out and show you the verses we're going to. It says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. That's good. Look at verse number 36. But when he was strong, his heart was filled up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest and the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me as I preach today on the subject of pride. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and meet our spiritual needs today, and we'll praise you for that, and help us each to listen real closely to get what God would want us to have today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There was a woman that she was babbling on, talking to somebody, and after a while she finally stopped and she says, Okay, that's enough about me, let's talk about you. What do you think of me? You know, we all like to hear about ourselves. And the Bible teaches about humility a lot. And it talks about pride a lot in the Bible. But most of us never, ever get victory over the pride that we have. And we very few have the humility that God wants us to have in our life, throughout our lives. In 1986, there were two ships in the Black Sea. They were steaming toward each other and on a direct collision course. The captain of one was waiting for the captain of the other to turn one direction and get out of the way. But they both had too much pride, and they noticed at the last second that they weren't either one going to get out of the way, and they waited too long and they ran right into each other, and hundreds of people died in that double shipwreck. Why? Because the captains of those ships had too much pride to make the first move. Pride causes all kinds of problems in life. And do you know, when we think of sin, adultery is bad. Murder is bad. But I think that when we look at the Bible, we'll find that pride is about the worst possible thing that you and I could get involved in. Pride. Pride cometh before the fall. Do you know, pride is very easy to see in other people, but it is hard to see in yourself. We don't see the faults in ourselves so much. We see the faults in everybody else. You go visit a church, and when you leave, you can tell your family all the problems that that church has. You can tell your family what's wrong with that preacher. You can tell, you know, you just notice all these things and you say, you'll tell it. But we very seldom look at ourselves with that type of critical spirit and ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? It's a sin that caused Satan's fall, as I mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14. There are two kinds of pride, though. You know, the sin that I want to be preaching about here in a minute is the sin that teaches us to think that we are a cut above everybody else. Who's the most important person here today? Well, you are, of course, according to you. You know, nobody as handsome as you. Nobody as pretty as you, if you're a girl, of course. If you're a guy, you're not pretty, of course. And if you think you're pretty, then you have problems. That kind of pride, though, I'll be speaking about. But the second kind pertains to the pursuit of excellence. That's not sinful. Actually, it's sinful not to want to do the best that you possibly can. I think it's proper to do that. You ought to pursue excellence. We should try to be the best that we can and do the best that we can in every area of our life and try to do good. That's not sinful pride. That's just a determination to try to be what we ought to be and do the best that we possibly can. It is trying to be pleasing to our Savior. The Bible even says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all of thy might. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, and do all kinds of scriptures that teach us that we ought to excel in what we do. But the Heavenly Father does say that we are not to have honor that is reserved for God. He has forbidden to us to be proud of what we do. We need to you do a good job on something, well, thank God and give the glory to God, but don't think that yourself is anything special because you did it and because you did a good job at it. Oh, folks, it's so hard to keep from thinking that we're really hot stuff when we're really not. We're just a sinner saved by grace, and all of us deserve to go to hell. But God in His grace and His unmerited favor toward us saved our souls, and we're on our way to heaven. And we say, boy, I tell you what, I sure am something. God sure is lucky to have me. No, 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 no. You are blessed to have God. You're blessed to have the Savior. It's a miracle that you ever got saved. It's a miracle that God convicted your heart and drew you to Him. So keep all of those things in mind. You know, scripture, the story of Uzziah there is what happens to a man when he gets too big for his britches. God has a way of bringing people down. Isn't it amazing? Uzziah was a great king for 50 years or maybe 51 years. I don't know how many, almost his whole ministry, his whole kingdom, he was a good king. But he blew it and he messed it up the last little portion of his kingdom, and he got leprosy. And what is he known for? He's known as the one that messed up. He messed up. What do you want to be known for? Keep it in mind. Now, he was 16 years old when he became king. You know what his thoughts were when he first became king, I would imagine? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a king. I'm only 16 years old. Almost everyone in the kingdom's older than me. How in the world am I going to do this? I have got to have good counsel. I have got to have help in order to do a good job. And I'm sure that he sought a lot of counsel and so on to try to do a good job when he was king. But you can imagine how insecure he must have felt at 16. Is there anybody in here that's 16? Aha, some of these. How would you like to be the President of the United States at 16? I mean, you could do a better job than who we got, but I'm just asking information. You know, you wouldn't have any idea which direction to go. The whole nation looked up to Uzziah, and they were looking to him for his leadership. And no doubt, it prompted him to seek guidance from a lot of people in order to do a good job. And he had a good reputation for doing the right thing and making the right decisions and so on. In 2 Chronicles 26:4, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to be prosperous. As long as he sought the Lord. Let me say that as long as you seek God and put Him first in your life, God will bless you. And but you mess up. Takes a whole life. I was talking to a young man just before services. Takes a whole life to build your reputation. Takes one stupid mistake to ruin your reputation. And Uzziah made a stupid mistake. He knew the rule. He knew he wasn't supposed to offer incense to the Lord. But he did. and it ruined his reputation. You may know what's right to do. You know what's right to not do. You know all of those things, what's right and what's wrong. But we mess up whenever I can get away with it this time. That may be the time that you're going to get caught. You know, over the years, that secret enemy began to invade Uzziah's heart. And he became proud and haughty and thought that he could do what he wanted to do. There's guidance in everybody's life. It doesn't matter whether you're the king or whether you're a student here at Fairhaven. There's things that you're supposed to do and there's things that you're not supposed to do. He lost sight of the fact that God was the source of his power and his popularity and his blessing. We need to understand that that's the case in our lives, that God is the source of everything good that happens to us. He's the source. The breath that you breathe is a gift from God. Think about that. God blessed him in building cities and fortifications and towers and defenses, and he had a lot of cattle and fields and vineyards and so on, and a great reputation. But he became proud of his greatness and his strength. And he forgot that God was the source of all that he had. We need to remember who the source of our blessings are in our lives. The danger of receiving God's blessings is we start to believe that I'm getting all these blessings because I'm such a great guy. No, you're getting all these blessings because of the grace of God. The grace of God. Do you know, God has a way of bringing us down to a level to help us to understand that we're not that important. When I was just graduated from college, I got a call from a preacher in Moline, Illinois. His name was Pastor Gordon Tietz, T-I-E-T-Z. And he invited me to come and to be his assistant pastor. And so I drove, and he says, "Now, I'll reimburse you for it if you can somehow scrape up enough money to get a U-Haul truck and bring your stuff here and your wife and your daughter to Moline, Illinois, then I'll reimburse you for your trip." Okay, and so I scraped up the money and got a U-Haul truck and traveled all the way from California, near Long Beach, California, all the way to Moline, Illinois. And when I got there, I was moving into our little house right across the street from the church. And the preacher came over and said, "Hey, we're going to have a deacon's meeting tonight, and I'd like to introduce you to the deacons." I'd never been to the church before. I said, "Hey, that'd be good. Okay, be there." And at 7 o'clock, I was supposed to be over at the church. I went over to the church at 7 o'clock. He had all of the deacons lined up in a little half circle there, and then me and the preacher were sitting in front of them. And the preacher introduced me, and this is exactly what he said: "Fellows, I'd like to introduce you to our new janitor." That's exactly what he said. Now, he called me on the phone. He supposedly hired me as his assistant pastor. Now, nothing wrong with being a janitor. It's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Yes, but that's not what he said. He lied to me about that. I was not a happy camper. I was upset. I want to say that I didn't do a real good job cleaning the church, because my heart was not in it. But God has a way of bringing us down to where we ought to be. Do you know that none of us, except by the grace of God, would have anything? Right. None of us would be blessed by God if he didn't bless us, we wouldn't have nothing. And some of you fellows, one of these days, 5 or 10 years from now, you'll be pastoring a church somewhere, and you'll see the blessings of God come, and you'll be thinking, "Boy, you're pretty hot stuff." You better not. Better not. Except by the grace of God, you'd be in jail somewhere. You'd be in a mess somewhere. You would be, you know, you'd have lost everything you have. Some of you ladies, you just need to remember that everything that you have, God gave you, and God has blessed so many of you so much by giving you parents that love the Lord, and maybe grandparents that love the Lord, maybe a pastor and church that you're from that love the Lord, and you've been given so many wonderful things. But we have a tendency to take all the credit ourselves. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, whenever we look at ourselves, it destroys the capacity for us to evaluate ourselves in the right way. King Nebuchadnezzar became swollen with pride, and his spirit was burdened, and he was deposed from the throne, and his glory was taken away. He went mad and started eating grass like an animal. God had a way of bringing him down to the level that he ought to be, thinking about God as the source of all of our power. When we are afflicted with pride, then what we need to do is get the cure. The cure for pride. Number one cure for pride is that it begins with the truth. Understand what the truth is. Don't think yourself to be something when you are nothing. And there's a tendency to have a false humility. And then you're proud of your false humility. You know, just be careful about that. Just give it all to God. Think about this guy that we've heard a message or two recently about Naaman, who had to swallow his pride and go see Elisha. And then when he got there, Elisha wouldn't even come out and see him and talk with him. And he had to swallow his pride again when he wouldn't come out to talk to him. And then he says, I want you to go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And he was upset about that and didn't do it. And of course, one of his servants said, listen, I don't know exactly all that he said, but he might have said, hey, you're already here. Why not just do it? It wouldn't hurt nothing. And so he did and came up out of the water the 7th time, and he was healed of his leprosy. Man, he had to swallow his pride. There's all kinds of examples in the Bible about how God healed him and healed his leprosy. But you know, when we are asked to do something and we feel that it's beneath us, we need to do it anyway. Do it anyway. Listen, no matter what the job is, it's worth doing good and it's worth doing right. And you do it with joy. Do you know that when I first preached, pastored, I didn't pastor, but I was 15 years old. 15, and my preacher in Brunswick, Missouri asked me to preach a sermon. I said, okay. And so I prepared a sermon, and I even skipped school in order to go out in the woods and prepare that sermon. I still remember walking through the woods and studying my Bible and reading and figuring out what I was going to preach that day at church. And I was thinking, boy, tell you what, they are going to really be surprised. You know, this is going to be an awesome day. I was interested. You know, it's on Sunday night that I was going to preach. And I thought, well, man, we're going to have an awesome attendance, because when they hear that Roger Bottrell is preaching, man, they're going to show up. And I thought, man, we're going to have us a crowd. It's going to be an awesome service. And I get there, and there's the preacher and his wife and his family. That's 5. They had to come. And then there was my mother and my daddy and my 2 brothers and my sister. They had to come. And there were 2 other people besides those that came to the service to hear me preach my first sermon. Do you know that I was shocked? I thought, what? Did they not get the message? Didn't they know what great preacher they were going to have? A 15-year-old preacher going to preach, and man, we ought to be packed out, wall to wall. But God had a way of bringing me down to realize that, Roger Bottrell, you're nothing. Anything you are, I made you. Anything you can do, I'm the one that gave you the ability to do it. We're not important. Now, we're important to God because He loved us enough to die for us on Calvary's cross. But folks, when we get right down to where the rubber meets the road, a lot of people could do what God's asking you to do. You're not the only one in this world. We need to make sure that we put God first. And do. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So Uzziah died in humiliation and dishonor after 52 years of being a great king. What a shame and what a waste. Muhammad Ali, some of you may have heard of him. Whenever he was younger, he was called Cassius Clay. But he was on an airplane, and he was flying somewhere, but he didn't have a seatbelt on. And so the stewardess came up to him and said, "Hey, you need to put your seatbelt on." And he looked up and he said, "Superman don't need a seatbelt." And she looked down at him and said, "Superman don't need an airplane." Folks, we all need to be brought down a notch or two once in a while to realize that we're saved, realize that we're saved by the blood of Christ and Christ is in our heart. It says, "Younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." All of you be subject one to another. In other words, who's the most important? The guy next to you is more important than you are. That's what we ought to be thinking. What does the Bible say in the Sermon on? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, if you want somebody to give you $100, maybe you ought to give $100 to somebody else. Maybe that's what you ought to do. Pick out the person that you don't like the most in the school and give them a $50 bill. Now the next one that gets a $50 bill says, "Man, they must hate me." But, you know, we ought to do good to those people that don't like us. Be friendly, be nice, and realize that we're nothing. We're just a sinner saved by grace. And when we read Proverbs chapter 6, it says, "There are six things that the Lord doth hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, and the first one on the list is a proud look." We think we're hot stuff. We're not hot stuff. We're just a sinner saved by grace. Roger Bottrell, "Hey man, you're 77 years old and you get to preach the college chapel, and I am honored and blessed to do it, but I don't deserve to do it. No one deserves to stand up here and preach to a bunch of godly people like y'all. But I am blessed to do it." Let me just say that when you start thinking that you are hot stuff, that's when your downfall is going to start. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." You know, we get greedy when we feel that we haven't been given enough. We begin to envy when we feel that self has not received what others got. We start envying others. We become angry when we get offended and somebody does something that we don't appreciate or don't like. Pride leads to all other sins in our life. If we could get that thing of pride under control, man, think of the godly things and the powerful things and the wonderful things that God could use you to do if you just got your pride under control. Think about that. Boy, we start taking the credit, we start thinking we're hot stuff, and God says, "I'm finished using him." But we have a humble spirit, realize that we are nothing. You know, pride poisons relationships. Do you know that most marriage problems are caused by selfishness? A husband's selfish and won't admit that he's wrong. Wife's selfish, won't admit that she's wrong. They have too much pride. We need to swallow our pride and ask the person to forgive us and do right. Do you know, the key to solving, you can't have a relationship with the Lord. To become a Christian, first you humble yourself and admit you're a sinner. You can't be a blessing to get to heaven on your own. You have to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1984, I went to El Paso, Texas, to start a church. I was going to start a church in downtown El Paso, right across the street from the University of Texas, El Paso. They called it UTEP. Do you know why I was going to start it there? Because I was going to be a hotshot preacher. I was going to start what was eventually going to be the largest church in Texas. I was going to start this great, big, wonderful church there in El Paso, Texas, and I was going to pastor it, and they would have called me the Jack Hiles of Texas. This was 1984. So I went there. I even rented a building across the street from UTEP and got ready to start. In the meantime, I was staying out in the desert on the property of Bearing Precious Seed. And me and a fella that was there, Dr. Carlos Demers and I, we'd go soul winning about twice a week together when he was in town. And we'd led about 30 or 40, 50 people to Christ out in the middle of the desert. And I thought, these people out in the desert, they need someplace to go to church. We need to have at least maybe a Wednesday night Bible study, because it was 15, 20 miles to get to a good church in town. And I said, we need to have a Bible study to help these people to grow. So we started having a midweek service out in the middle of the desert. And we started having 30 or 40 people show up out in the middle of the desert. And God said, what are you going to do about these people out in the desert when you start this wonderful big church you're going to start in downtown El Paso? I thought, well, I'll just start two churches. I'll start one out here for all these poor people that live out in the desert, and I'll start one down by UTEP for all the rich people, and I'll pay for this one with that one. So, started having services. Started both of them the same day. We had an early service at one church and a later service at the other one. And the thing is in El Paso, across from UTEP, the first Sunday we didn't have any visitors. None, zero. Out in the desert, we had about 40 people showed up. Second Sunday, I had one visitor in El Paso at the downtown place. Still had 30 or 40 people outside in the desert. God got hold of my heart. I was out in the desert walking one day just to get God's mind, and he said, so you think you're a hotshot preacher, huh? You're going to start this big church in downtown El Paso, and you're going to let all these people out in the desert just go to hell. I had to get right with God. And I got down on my knees and in the middle of the desert by myself, and God broke my heart. I said, okay, God, I don't need to be any hotshot preacher. I'll just be out here in the desert, and I'll just reach people that I can reach out here in the middle of the desert. It's okay. And so I closed the one in town and started the church out in the desert. And by the way, it'll be 40 years old this coming year. In 2025, I believe it'll be. Well, whatever it is, I don't know. 1984, August is when I started it. But anyway, folks, 40 years old, I think it is. 84 to 24. But what I'm saying is we need to swallow our pride. We're just sinners saved by grace. Even though you think you're hot stuff, you're not hot stuff. You think you're very important, but you're not very important. You're important to God, but we need to look onto others. Others, Lord, yet this my motto be, that even while I kneel and pray, my prayer shall be for others. How do you defeat pride if you have it? Well, you've got to learn to not take yourself too seriously. Everybody doesn't owe you. We owe everything to God. The Bible says in Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said those things. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. And in the New Testament, in Luke 18, he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in him, And he said, two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed and thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Weren't they lucky to have him? And the publican, standing afar off, would not so lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, I count my gain all but loss and pour contempt upon my pride. You know, say, here I am, Lord, I don't have much. What you're looking at is it's just me. Can you do anything with it, God? Can you do anything with me? Can you use me in any great way? God, I'll give myself to you if there's any way that you can use me. There's also a sin which is more frequently condemned in the Bible. I mean, there's not any sin that's more frequently condemned than pride. And if we don't start looking properly at a subject like this, you'll never get very far in the ministry. I'm reminded of Sister Mitchell. Last week had the joy of leading her neighbor to the Lord Jesus Christ. What'd she get out of it? Her neighbor died just a few days later. Had the joy of seeing somebody go to heaven, that she had the joy of being the instrument that God used to bring her to the Savior. Oh, what a joy. We ought to be thankful to God anytime He uses us for anything. During this fall campaign, you may be working on a bus route. You're involved in something. Anything God uses you for, give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not you, it's just by the grace of God. You know, we have nothing to be proud of. Our own creation should humble us. You're just made of dirt. Just made of dirt. Our frailty should be sufficient to keep us low, for we'll be gone tomorrow. Roger Bottrell, you're not much. No, I'm sure not, but thank God I'm born again and I'm on my way to heaven. Our ignorance should tend to keep pride from our lips. The more you have, the more you're in debt toward God. Should not be proud of that which makes you a debtor. Consider what you would be right now if it weren't for the divine grace of God. You'd be in hell. The covetous man has his gold. But what does the proud person have? Nothing. Pride never wins a crown. You don't have a crown, do you? A prize, Brother Mitchell, that at the end of the college year, the most prideful person in our school is. No, they don't have a gift for that because it's not a good thing to have. You know, men look down on a proud man. Pride will keep you from coming to God. Pride will keep you from coming down the aisle to get saved. Pride will keep you from coming to the altar when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and makes you want to get right with God. How many times have you stayed in the pew and not moved when God spoke to your heart because pride kept you from moving? Could we have every head bowed and every eye closed a moment?